Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you would, turn with me to Luke 17. Luke 17. Luke 17, and I want to read verses 11 through 19. 11 through 19. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Christ, as we can see from Scripture, in many instances, never went anywhere, never did anything, never said anything off the cuff. Jesus Christ does all things on purpose. After all, he was about doing his Father's business, and God the Father does all things on purpose. If I do something on purpose, it is always shot full of self. I'm always concerned about numero uno. Here is Christ on his way to Jerusalem for one purpose, to be made sin for his people. Did he know this? That is, did Christ know he was going for this purpose? He was the ones that said this words in Zechariah 13:7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. This very one who is going to be tortured and crucified because of other sins that he loved, that love wherewith he loved us, he was on his way to doing that, yet he takes the time to, on purpose, to go through these specific places and help these specific people. Yes. It was not just in this village that he did such things such as this. We know he did this for us before we were born, but there were some who were with him during this time. Jesus Christ was always about doing the will of the Father. Amen. In doing the will of the Father, Jesus Christ always loved his neighbor as himself. Did he not?
Amen.
Who is going to say that our Lord, the Lord of glory, did not do what was the right thing to do toward his neighbor? Jesus Christ is going to this place and did not just happen upon this place or these men. Our Lord knows all things, and he knew what was going to happen, and they were done and recorded in his word for us. Christ went to specific places and did specific things to specific people so that you and I might learn of him in all of this. I wished I could tell it to you like it should be told. But the Almighty God, that one who breathed every word of his truth in what we now have, which is called the Holy Bible, the Bible itself is not holy. I mean the paper and ink. and the covering that might be on it. But the words contained therein are God-breathed.
Yes.
His word even tells us this. So if I'm telling you what His word says, then I'm telling you what God says. What do we read in Scripture? Matthew 1:22 we read, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us."
Amen.
What we read in Matthew was said by Christ in the Old Testament. Isaiah 7:14 we read, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." The Old Testament is full of Jesus Christ, although it may not use the name Jesus Christ. All of it is all talking about him. Even the law of God testifies of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Listen to these passages. Luke 24:44 we read, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me."
Amen.
John 1:45 says, "Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And then Acts 28:23 we read, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening." Three witnesses. All this to say that the whole of the book speaks of Christ, even the law of God.
Amen.
Our Lord spoke of himself, testifying of all things that should come to pass and be fulfilled. This he did in times past. So this I know, when it says, "It came to pass," this was something intended specifically by our Lord to do. He does not do anything off the cuff, as I've already said. If he does it, he has always wanted to do it and has always been pleased for how it turned out. I know these passages may not hit you like it does me, but this says that what was written in the Old Testament is what Christ said, and it was written by the prophets.
Amen.
God uses means, and he used the prophets to declare unto us what would come to pass. This one who spoke to the prophets said he would come to this earth, being born of a virgin, and his name is Emmanuel, God with us. This is that one who has already come that we are reading about today. This is that one that just happened to go to this certain place. And that was tongue-in-cheek. So let's go through this passage and see if we can see a little bit about who our Lord is and see what these men saw about who our Lord is. We first have Christ going into a certain village. So he specifically meant to go to this place. It was a certain village, although we are not given the name of that village. As he entered this village, there were 10 men who met him, not face to face, because they were all lepers. The law tells us what lepers are to do, Leviticus 13:46. "All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." These men were doing what the law told them to do. They were standing afar off from everyone else. These are those who, according to the law, were pronounced unclean by the priest. Leviticus 13:2-3, it says, "When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priests, and the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of the flesh, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. So these were all leprous men. All of these men heard that it was Jesus Christ coming through the village. And listen to this. They all began to lift up their voices. They were crying this out loudly.
Yes, sir.
They first called him Jesus. This is God in his humanity they were calling out to.
Yeah.
But not only that, they also called him Master. These men desired mercy from Jesus Christ the Master.
Yeah.
Did they not?
Amen.
All of them were crying out for mercy. They were saying this very loud so as to be heard of Jesus Christ. They cried, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So then what does Christ do? He tells them to go show themselves to the priest. Christ is telling them to do what the law says. Isn't this what the law says for them to do? Leviticus 14, 2 and 3, we read that. We've read in Leviticus, but here's what it says in 2 and 3 of 14. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Now, we're not going to read that whole thing, but he does certain things, offers some offerings and stuff, until eventually he would pronounce him clean if the man was clean. So this is what the law says to do. Go to the priest so that they can pronounce you clean after doing everything commanded them to do. These men did what Christ told them to do, so they are on their way. And as they begin on their way, they are cleansed.
Amen.
Did not the ten do what Christ told them to do? They were doing what the law commanded them to do, were they not?
Yes, sir.
Which is what Christ told them to do. The law says, show yourself to the priest.
Yep.
Nothing is said about these other men being worse than the one man. All of them cried out for mercy. All of them knew they were unclean because they all stood afar off and cried for mercy, just as the one man did. Why is it that some do one thing, that some think one thing, that some say one thing, and others do think and say different things? There was one of these men, one of the ten, only one, that he says he saw that he was clean. All of them were cleansed. It says they were cleansed. But it only tells us this one saw that he was clean. What did this cleansing cause this one man to do? This one turned. Why only this one man? Why did he do what he did and the others, as it would seem, just kept walking and going to see the priests? Christ can heal anyone of physical ailments, and he often does. If they are healed, it is because he purposed for them to be healed. There's no doubt about that. God is sovereign and in complete control. I'm talking about even today. The rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. But there is obviously a difference between those men and this one man. Only the priest, after the order of Melchizedek, can make you whole. This is what the law and the prophets pointed to. Was this one who would, for his people, do what was needed to make them righteous in the sight of God in him? First of all, we know this man had faith, because our Lord tells us he had faith.
Yes, sir.
This faith is a faith that not all men have. 2 Thessalonians 3:2 says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. We also read that faith without works is dead, James 2, verses 19 and 20. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
Yes.
But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Faith without works is dead. That's what it says.
Yes,
so what are the works of faith? Faith, as it has been said before, is the faith of Jesus Christ the Lord.
Yes.
Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is eternal, so it never comes into existence. It just is. It has always been, because Jesus Christ, being God with us, has always been. This faith has to be given, and we know it is, because God tells us in His Word, Joe, that faith is a gift, and it is given by God, and it is given in His measure.
Amen.
So men may have more faith than others. But if God gives the faith then to man, then he has the faith of Christ.
Yes.
This faith, then, if it is the faith of Jesus Christ, always looks to that which is its source, right? Faith always looks to Jesus Christ because it is His faith. So then if faith has works, then those works must of necessity be geared towards Jesus Christ, because that is the source of everything fulfilled. We can see it right here in this passage. We have already read in several places where the law and the prophets declare Jesus Christ. So we now have two or three witnesses to this. So when that one who has been given faith and recognizes he is healed when he has been told to go see the priest, he realizes by faith that the priest he needs to go see is the very one who healed him. This man, and only this man, had faith here in this passage. Just as God's people all do, because of the work of God. We are going in a different direction than everyone else. We are turned back to Jesus Christ when faith is given us. It enables us. It points us to Jesus Christ. It does not point us to the law of commandments. We are dead to that law by the body of Jesus Christ. We will not keep that law because we cannot keep that law. Romans 7:4 says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." We cannot keep the law. That is, we cannot do the works of the law of God, the law of commandments, not before faith and not after faith. The Scripture says that the law is weak through the flesh.
Yes.
What does it tell us? We must mortify our members. Mm-hmm. This is a never-ending battle in this life. The flesh cannot keep God's law, so we must continually mortify our members constantly. But God, by Jesus Christ, took the law out of the way. In Him giving us the faith of Jesus Christ, we then fulfill that law through this faith. Turn with me to Romans 3 verses 30. Romans 3 verses 30, if you would. Romans 3 verses 30, and I'm going to read through chapter 4 and verse 5. "Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law."
Amen.
"What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." The faith given to God's people, that is the faith of Jesus Christ, is counted unto us for righteousness. Righteousness is life. we have life before God because of the faith of Jesus Christ. This is that faith which is given to us. Jesus Christ is our prophet, our priest, and our king. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus."
Amen.
A mediator is a priest. He is the one that stands in the gap for us. He is the one that offered a sacrifice for us. He is the one that cleanses us. And he is the one that pronounces us clean. All this being based on who he is and what he has done. Acts 7:37 says, "This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear." This man was that great prophet who told men and women the gospel of himself. He let prisoners go free. Luke 4:18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And that was Christ speaking. But he is also our king, Revelations 19:16 says. "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords."
Amen.
He is our sovereign, almighty God and King, for the kingdom is his and his kingdom is forever. But we have seen in this passage where there were 9 men who heard of Christ and were crying out for mercy from Christ, just as this one man did. Their asking of mercy was no different than that the one who turned back to Christ.
That's right.
The only difference was that faith given by the great high priest. This faith caused him to know who it was that was speaking with him, and he seen that. It was that great high priest after the order of Melchizedek that was his priest. He turned to that one that the law of commandments spoke of. These others continued on to looking to that law. Are we to turn back to that law wherein we were held in bondage? Absolutely not. We, if we have been given the faith of Jesus Christ, we look to him, knowing that all of the whole book speaks of this one who is the great high priest. All others, even if they are healed of physical ailments, and these men were, if Christ has not healed them spiritually, can do nothing but turn to works for salvation. I hope you can see Christ in the Scripture. If you do, it will be because of him revealing it to you by faith. What does the passage go on to say in Luke 17? "And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? He was not asking this question because he did not know the answer. He knew the answer, of which he gives it to us in the next verse. Luke 17:18. "There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." They did not give God the glory. God will have all the glory, Joe. He will not share any of his glory with another. If you do not give Jesus Christ all the glory, because it is he that has done all the work, then you will perish, even if you are cleansed of leprosy. But then he says, "Save this stranger," a Samaritan, basically what most consider to be the same as a heathen, as I read from John Gill. Heathens, that's what we are. So what does he now tell this man, this Samaritan, in verse 19? "And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole."
Amen.
The faith of Jesus Christ, which was a gift of Jesus Christ, made this man whole. What does that mean? He could see that he was clean. God Almighty, through Jesus Christ, allows us to see we are clean before God. Jesus Christ cleansed us by his death. He then, by faith, pronounces us clean so that we hear it with our own ears, so to speak. This is salvation to a believer, and I am thankful for this. All of what I've spoken to you about today brings a certain passage to mind, Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. There were 10 men here, but 9 of them kept going, save this one man who turned to Jesus Christ. Yes. What is the hallmark of those who have been truly healed of their infirmities? They glorify Christ. But not only that, they do this at His feet. This is not a one-time thing. They continue to do this. They will fall and fail, but they will continue until the end, worshiping God at the feet of our prophet, our great high priest, and our King, Jesus Christ. Christ has put away that law which was a yoke that we cannot bear. If God has opened your eyes, you can see the law of commandments, and you can see that. I cannot do this. It will leave you nowhere to turn but to that one who did do this. He fulfilled the law and satisfied God on our behalf. We are now clothed in His righteousness, His life, and because of that we have life before a thrice holy God. We stand before Him clean. What does Christ tell this man? Arise, go thy way. What way would that be? The same way you are already headed, to the feet of Jesus Christ. Thy faith, that is the faith of Jesus Christ, which points you to Jesus Christ, has made you whole. That cleansing for which you were seeking has been found. Where? At the feet of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Do you really want to turn to the law and commandments? Let me ask the question a little different way. Would you rather approach God by the works of the law or by the works of Jesus Christ? The best instruction I can give you is to do this. Turn to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher, or that is the perfecter of faith. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank you for your mercies towards us, dear Lord. May it be that you will cause us to look to you for all things, because you are all things, dear Lord, to your people. Cause us to cry out for mercy, dear Lord. We need mercy, but cause us to look to you for that mercy. Be with those who are not here. May you heal them in your way. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.